You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Diablo's Digest. I'm your host, Jay Reason, and I'm here with my co-host, Yvonne Murillo.
Yo.
What's up, boss?
What's happening?
Man, we've been on a sabbatical here, huh? I've been five weeks between episodes. I swear to God, guys, in my head, I'm doing an episode every week for you. It's just hard, you know? But I do, we were on a good... kind of stride for a little while, and I'm hoping to get back on there now that the summer's over, and things will be a little bit more slow around here. So yeah, man, what's going on? Talk to me here.
What's going on with you? You know, we got to get back in that groove.
Yeah,
because some consistency.
I know.
We caught Ezekitis.
But you know what, dude, shout out to Donnie, the DRP, for giving everybody episodes of the Ruckus podcast to keep the weekly, your weekly fill of something with Ezek. People got to hear his laugh. That's like,
yeah, exactly.
The biggest,
creating content, you know?
Yeah. Content is king, as they say, you know?
That's right.
Talk to me. So, what's been going on, man? It's been about a month. Let's see what's going on. Static Era stuff really quick, Slighted, which you've heard me plug on here, is finally out. That band features Zach from Man Overboard on vocals. Also has our homie Wes from Death Threat, who's playing in the live band. They just announced a slew of shows. One of those being in Connecticut with Killing Time. It's going to be amazing. That's at
Pale the Horse as well. Is that one,
yeah, Killing Time, Sub-Zero, Pale Horse. That's at the Space in Hamden coming up. So they got some cool stuff. And then, dude, finally, after fucking months of delay, today... CinemaStare vinyl just showed up. So if you've had your pre-order for the CinemaStare vinyl, that will be going out this week. I appreciate everybody's patience. That was a weird one because we used a different pressing plant than we normally would do. It's a smaller amount than we normally do, so it was a little tougher to navigate, but I'm glad it's here. And again, I appreciate everybody's patience. Yvonne, I know you're getting ready for Sunday, right? You're playing a gig coming up, right?
Yeah, Dead Wrong's playing our might be our last gig ever. Who knows?
Yeah, you say that you say that all the time, and then it's like, you come out with the discography or something.
Well, here's the thing. Then I never say never, but I know the appetite for Dead Wrong isn't that strong. You know, I'm not gonna lie to you, but I enjoy doing it if we're asked. I enjoy playing with the guys. So it's like I would do it in the future. Never say never, but
well, and you got the vinyl out of it, which is cool. Because that's the one thing, like, Dead Wrong didn't have a 12-inch. You had the 7-inch, but you never had, like a 12-inch record. And that's kind of like, if you're going to go out on close the chapter, that's, like, a good way to end it, I think.
Yeah, we played 3 gigs this year. They were all cool. It was all fun. This will obviously be the third one. And what a way to go out if it's playing with Judge. You know, it's one of my favorite bands of all time.
Yeah, that show.
Obviously, the guys in the band, it's one of their favorite bands as well. So, yeah, it should be a good one. Sold out show.
Yeah, that's going to be a great show. Shout out to Ben and Chris at Manic and everybody involved. That's going to be a lot of fun. That's on Sunday in Connecticut because this episode will be out tomorrow.
So back to Slated for a second. So
yeah, let's talk about it. Yeah, This Means War just came out, streaming everywhere. I think we're going to have a physical product for something, but probably won't be till next year, just because we're kind of like already in it's pretty much already October's halfway through.
Yeah, so they're playing. They got those other shows coming up with Jersey or something like that, right?
Yeah, they got actually a bunch of shows. Let me pull those up. Hang on one second. Yeah, they announced a shit ton of shows.
Yeah, shout out to Wes for, you know, that's pretty cool. He's getting back on the horse.
Well, you know, I mean, I was really excited because like when Zach told me that Wes was gonna play in the live band, I was like, oh, holy shit. I said, dude, if you could convince him, that would be crazy, you know? And then like a day later, he's like, yo, Wes is in. So yeah, they're playing starting November 10th in Lake Como, New Jersey at Salty's with Dead Heat, Fool's Game, Cut Down, Discontent. Then November 11th at Ralph's Rock Diner in Worcester, Mass. With Clocked Out, Life's End, Gum Scab, Bed of Razors, and Cooked. November 12th, The Cavern at Portland, Maine, with Broken Vow, Gum Scab, and Inferior Diatrab. Shout out to Chris Link from Cruel Hand for putting that show together. He's doing a lot of shit in Portland, Maine. And then Connecticut, December 15th at The Space with Killing Time, Sub-Zero, and The Almighty Pale Horse. So yeah, man, they're really going for it. So, you know, it's kind of cool, man. Like, you know, he's really, you know, he really is trying to make this happen. And it's nice to see Wes so involved. We're fully behind the release, as you know. So yeah, we got some cool things planned, man. And it's cool to have somebody like Zach, you know, who's best known for Man Overboard, you know, which is a very popular band in their world. So to have him come on board, you know, and do something with Static Era, it's really cool, man. Like I said, we're really lucky to work with like so many cool bands and people, and you know, man, I don't take it for granted at all.
And what about? Let's talk a little bit about this new project with some friends of ours.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I was gonna say, let's talk about how much we could talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. You got to be a little bit vague about
it. Yeah, I'll be as vague as possible. But one of the reasons I was hoping, they posted a photo of it already, so it's not going to be like anything. But I was hoping to get an episode out before this one with me and Izak, because Izak was in Connecticut with Hoya. So if you guys aren't following Smoke AD on Instagram, do that. It's a new project from Hoya. There will be more details on like who is in the band and stuff yet. They haven't really rolled that out. So I, obviously you saw him post a picture with Izak, so you know, he's involved, but they were in Connecticut rehearsing on that Monday and we were trying to squeeze an episode in, but we just had so much other shit to go over. I'm helping those guys out with a few things on this. I'm sorry if it sounds vague. I'm just trying to think of like what I can and can't say right now. But you know what I could kind of say is that there is like some big, like the big announcement will be coming probably in like 2 weeks. And then you'll be hearing like the actual, like the fruits of that labor, like mid November, I think is a very safe, guess right now. There's a lot of parts though, man, moving, but it was cool. So shout out to Hoya, shout out to Izak, shout out to everybody else involved in that, which that'll be getting unveiled soon. What I've heard is fucking amazing, man. I can't even, not even just because they're like our friends and shit. I mean, just all around so fucking good.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool. Obviously Hoya, you know, he left Madball not too long ago and, he's doing his own thing with this, his new projects, trying to keep his foot in the game of music and still be creative and stuff. And he's got all the podcast stuff. So it's very, I'm very curious to see what he's got in store for us, you know, but I know it's going to be good because everything the guy's ever done has been good since he was in Demise, you know?
Yeah. And you know, what's really cool too with this project. I think too, that it was announced obviously that Zeus was involved. If it wasn't Hoya, I'm sorry for leaking that, but, what's cool about the recording, is if you know all the other people, the other players too, the way that the sound is brought together, and I'm going to speak as a fan here. you could distinctly hear all the musicians as their style, and it comes together so good. I think it's the best that Ezek has sounded. You heard the track, Yvonne? I can't remember.
No, I didn't hear the track.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
that's even a secret to me.
Oh, okay. No shit. Sorry. yeah. So the track is pretty awesome. Yeah, and like I said, I know that there's more details coming, but they were recording, rehearsing. Your boy here is involved. So yeah, I mean there's some big stuff. Yvonne, you're even involved in a little bit too. You're gonna be helping us out with so writing some stuff for the group. But yeah, there's a lot of cool announcements. A shout out. Make sure you're following those guys, Instagram, Smoke AD, short for Smoke All Day. Yeah, so that's cool. What for else, sure. Yvonne? What else?
What happened recently? Well, we had that Cold as Life reunion in Detroit a couple weeks ago.
I know. I wish I could have gone. The videos looked amazing. We had a bunch of our friends play that. Shout out to The World. Shout out to Death Threat. And a bunch of other bands play. You know what, too? I want to shout out End It and H2O. They played a last-minute show in Connecticut over the weekend.
Yeah, how was that?
It was great. I went out to that. End It was super good. The opening band was really good, and I apologize on that the name is escaping me right now. They're from Connecticut. I'll have to try to drop it in if I remember, but they were really good. It was three bands, super quick, really good turnout for like a week's notice. H2O was great. Matty Henderson from Madball was playing with them, and they had Toby Sun playing drums, which was cool to see. He killed it. And End It was great. They were really good. I don't know if you've seen them before, but
yes, I have seen them. Awesome, yeah, band.
Yeah, awesome band, and the singer is fucking hilarious, man. He was cracking me up. He tells some of the really great just jokes and stuff, and he what a voice on that guy too, you know. Comes out and he starts singing like the clean singing shit, you know.
Yo, he can do it all.
Yeah.
Know?
I so love it.
Just yeah, fun band to watch. And the name of that band that you're talking about that opened was Burning Hand.
Burning Hand. Yeah, highly recommended. Yes, man, if anybody gets a chance. They opened up. They're from Connecticut. They're really good. Speaking of End It, they're on Flat Spot today. That Flat Spot fest got announced, and I saw Biohazard was headlining that, which is pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah, there's
serious
not much
lineup on that.
I guess it's a 2-day thing. There's not much clarity on who's playing which day. But yeah, a lot of good bands on it. I think End It's on it, right? Suburban Scum is playing one of their comeback shows on it. Raw Brigade.
Yeah, I mean, it's you got
the chisel, Section Hate.
It starts off with Biohazard. You got H2O. Shout out to Toby. Gut Instinct, Outburst is playing. Shout out to Dijon. The Chisel, Suburban Scum, Section Hate, Regulate, Naysayer, Raw Brigade, Jive Bomb, Buggin', Life's Question, Karma, Cold Times, Choice to Make, Red Eye, and Backlash. That's on January 27th and 28th. Disturbing the Peace. You know, shout out to Ricky and all the Flat Spot guys. I actually got to know those guys because of you, Yvonne.
Yeah, Ricky and Che.
Yeah, I got to know them because of you. Great label. Doing some really cool shit. Yeah, nice to see. Really cool to see like a lineup like that. Totally. With young bands and old bands. We haven't gotten to catch Biohazard on this reunion, but you and I have Biohazard stories for days, especially you remember when they came to the house and we had the party.
Oh, man, that was, what, 25 years ago? No, I think a little bit old.
It's probably more than that. Yeah, that's got to be more than that at this point, you know?
Those are good times.
I always think. Forget. I know. I always think about that, and I know I've told it here before, but that's just always one of those crazy stories, like, when we tell it now, it's like, oh yeah, Biohazard was at my parents' house when we were having a party. They were away. And it's just like, sounds so unbelievable, but it was there and you guys were all there. You know, you witnessed it.
Yeah. I have yet to see Biohazard since they've reunited with Evan. So hopefully they'll be playing somewhere locally on the East Coast. And I can catch them. And just, I think the last one they played those shows in New York a couple months ago, it was during, I think, Father's Day or something like that weekend. So I missed them, but yeah, hoping to see them. Good to see they're back as a full unit again with the original four guys.
Yeah, and that is cool. You got
to
imagine
forward to seeing them.
Got to imagine some. I'm sure some new music is coming out. You know,
yeah, I'd be shocked if we didn't get new stuff from them.
I'm really curious with something like that. Like, who is who's gonna release it or whatever? You know, I'm sure they're getting offers from everybody. I would imagine, you know. Everybody's is offering those guys something, you know.
Sure.
But before we dive into today's episode, man, I want to just plug, before I forget, that Diablo Fest 2023 is coming up. That's Friday, December 1st at the Dive Bar in Las Vegas, Nevada. So I'm going to tell everybody, make sure you get your tickets now because that show is almost sold out. Danny wanted me to make sure to let everybody know that. It's a good lineup. You got Madball and you got Scarhead in Las Vegas. So you know that that shit's just going to be a party. You got Concrete Dream. You got Piss Mob. A slew of bands. It's going to be a great time. Tickets available at DannyDiabloMerch.com. I wish you and I were going to be there. It sounds like it's going to be a good time, you know?
Yeah, man. I mean, Scarhead, Madball, and Vegas, forget about it.
It's yeah, that's
gonna
be like...
one for the books, for sure.
That's going to be one for, like, if we were ever organized enough to have a Patreon, that's the dirt when it came out on something like that, you know? But,
You know, I wanted to mention one thing that I saw today
that
I think is worth a mention. But
yeah, for sure.
I mean, everybody knows the band Antidote. The original singer, Luis Rivera, I guess he got into he was riding his bike and he fell off his bike and got into an accident. He's in the ICU, undergoing multiple surgeries right now. He's in a medically induced coma. Anybody that's ever heard the Antidote 7-inch, it's a classic of original New York hardcore. So definitely keep this guy in your thoughts. I mean, he's an old timer, man, original New York hardcore guy. So it's unfortunate that he had this accident, you know, and keep Lewis in your thoughts. Definitely an OG Lower East Side hardcore dude, you know,
the Antidote. Yeah, we never want to hear bad news about anybody getting hurt.
Yeah, especially, you know, I actually got to see Antidote with him. They played at Cherry Street about a year or two ago. And it was definitely cool because, you know, I'd seen obviously the Drew Stone version a bunch of times. But
Incendiary cool Device, you mean?
Well, they're now Incendiary
yeah,
Device.
Yeah, Incendiary Device.
But it was cool seeing this dude, like I said, this old-timer cat just fucking getting up there raging. And the Thou Shalt Not Kill 7-inch, like I said before, it's one of the all-time classics, New York hardcore, early American hardcore. If you haven't heard it, I mean, what are you waiting for? If, you know, it's on Spotify, it's everywhere, but it's one of the classic records, and this guy was a part of it. And, you know, just keep that guy in your thoughts. I'm sure Isaac would have some thoughts about him as well. This guy's, like I said, OG New York hardcore guy, hip-hop, graffiti type of guy. So, you know, he's got his hands in a lot of different pies. And I just wanted to mention that. Thought it was worth a mention, and just keep that dude in your thoughts. That's all.
Yeah. All right. Shout out, man. I'm glad you brought that up. I hadn't heard about that.
Yeah, just heard about this morning. So
yo, let's dive into like the bulk of our episode today, which, you know, again, in my head leading up to this, you know, I had planned this big thing, but as much as with Diablo's Den, as you'll find out in the next part 1, 2, and 3, you know, a lot of this stuff is just roll with the punches, man. So like I said at the top of the show, like
it's real fly by the seat of your pants, white knuckle shit. You know what I mean?
Like, well, and yo, here's the thing, right? So it's like this episode, Best of Diablo's Den part 1, right? It actually marks 5 years, if you can believe it, that I've been recording this podcast with Ezek. Started October 2018 was the first episode. But yeah, it's crazy when I think about it. I mean, obviously, you know, you see other shows, shout out to Axe to Grind, you know, they're like in the like 300 plus episodes.
Yo, isn't that crazy how much content some of these dudes are turning?
Yeah, or like Hard Lore, or shout out to my boy Joe Hardcore and this is Hardcore Podcast, you know, who do it every week. And like, I swear, man, Yvonne, you know, I text you, this is no bullshit. Like I do always plan right in my head. I'm always like, yo, I'm going to record one this week. And then I just and this is going to sound like I'm making excuses. I'm not, but just between shop and dealing with clients, it's hard to get an episode. And then a lot of times I don't want to just talk, do like an episode by myself talking into a mic because, again, shout out to Joe Hardcore, who's good at that. I get like too lost in my thoughts and kind of ramble, you know, so I can't really like carry a show on my own. That's why I like having you on or someone else, because it makes it a little easier. But yeah, man, it's just like, it's crazy when I look at how many episodes we have in 5 years. You know, if you look at the count, it says 53, 54, if you count episode 1, which episode 1's not available anymore. We're not going to get into that, but, 54 and four. So, you know, let's just say 53, but 13 of those are Diablo's Digest or Ruckus episodes. So it's really only 40 episodes over 5 years, which is pretty crazy. But
hey,
if you think this is what I tell you, right? It's like I always have I treat this as a band, and each episode is like a show. So I'm just like happy when we get one done. So if I think of it like as like, yo, I done a band with Ezak for
You got to think of it this way. The fact you wrangled this guy to do 40 episodes is like, and you're still doing a miracle.
Yo, over 5 years across 3 moves, I think this dude, right? He moved.
Yo,
to
plus,
like,
you know, playing shows, being, mm-hmm. you know, I'm like, he's very busy in that time. You're obviously busy in that time. But yeah, it's like, I think the quality of shows and the quality of guests has always been high. And if you got to wait a couple extra weeks for an episode, I think, you know, there's nothing really been to complain about. The shows have done have been really, really good and fun and entertaining.
Thanks, man. And I mean, like a lot of it too, and you're the same way, is like, it's for the love of Ezak, right? You know, like you and I, because even before the podcast, like we've known him from before, right? So we have like memories of going to like Pizza Hut buffet with him and just like all these crazy things, you know? So it's awesome to do something for like the people you kind of look up to, and we're like, you know, dude, like, I mean, I just remember how you and I would go see them play, and like before we were friends with any of these guys, you know, and it's just cool.
Very much so. Yeah, it's crazy that we're like middle-aged men now. We were like teenagers when we first like saw this guy's band.
Yeah, like I always, especially dude, like you know, working with them closer now, especially like with Hoya's project, you know, we always talk about that. I'm like, man, I've known you guys for so long, that it's just funny that now it's like this is the dynamic of our friendship. You know, it's like, oh, did this paperwork get signed, you know, or like, oh, Ezak, you know, we got you on Cameo, you know, like just little things that like, again, man, just to better, you know, our friends' lives with, you know, dude, whether that's like extra ways to make money or owning your masters or, you know, dude, like anything we could do, that's the shit that I'm so psyched that we're in the position to do. So yeah, man, let's take it back to the beginning of Diablo's Den podcast. So my hope is that across the next this episode and two more, I'm going to be able to paint you a picture of kind of the workings of this, and you'll kind of understand like why you might only get a show a month and why sometimes there's these long breaks. It's not because I'm not trying to. I'm always like literally bothering Ezak, saying like, dude, come on, we got to record, or trying to wrangle a guest or hounding Yvonne or whomever. And a lot of times it's just even on me, man. Like I'll have this plan to go do it. And then, you know, like a work thing will come up or a client situation comes up and it's like, I just end up getting tied up and can't do it. But yeah, man, shout out to all the shows that we listen to that crank these out. So, I'm going to take this to the beginning, Yvonne. I'm actually going to turn this to you because for those who don't know, you were originally supposed to be in my spot.
That's true. And it's good that it turned out the way it did. Cause I couldn't do 75% of what you do.
No, I don't believe that. You could.
And all this
could.
Shit. No, no way in hell.
You could.
It turned out the way it was supposed to turn out. And, you know, I just, I'm glad it turned out the way it did. It's,
well,
you
so
guys have had a good run.
Right.
It's been fun.
Let's walk through the beginning though. So what was the first like initial, cause I think, was there a couple of people even before you that were maybe supposed to be in your spot? Like, what do you remember of
that? I don't think so. I just remember Ezak bringing it up. Hey, I want to do a podcast, and I want.
But like,
you know,
what did he? What, you know, at the time was there something popping off? Was it like Joss's show? Was there something going on that made him think of it, or was that you kind of like? I know Axe to Grind was kind of just starting off. Like, was it something like who came up with that initial?
As far as I can remember, it was totally Ezak bringing it up and wanting to do it. You know, that wasn't me. You know, it wasn't me mentioning it at all. He came to it on his own.
That's cool. And then, because I remember the initial phone call with you asking me about gear. And I was like, yeah, you would need, you know, this, that, a couple other things. And then tell me a little bit more about that process. Like, why didn't that come together? Like, what was the, you know, like, how come that didn't happen?
I just think my life was a little bit hectic at that time. His life was as well. And it's just something that just for some reason, it just never really came together. And
yeah.
You and him had kind of reconnected, I think. Start talking more.
Yeah, I had been.
It just seemed like a natural type of thing for you to kind of take the reins and, you know, do what you've done with it.
Well, it was funny, actually. So, like, yeah, I had been working in the city, and Isaac was, I think, had left to LA. Yeah, and then he was moving back, if I remember, at the time when me and him started reconnecting. And it was because somebody, I can't remember who, was looking for like a background actor. And I was like, oh, I got my boy, E. And I hadn't talked to him probably like in a year or so. But I reached out to him and it was like, you know how Isaac is. So it's like nothing ever happened. And then we just connected back and forth. And then I think, yeah, like right around when you were texting me about the gear, he texted me asking me like, yo, what would we need? How would it happen? And then I remember kind of laying out the plan. And then my next memory was just that, like, yeah, like you said, it was like between the both of you, it was almost like too busy and nobody was really like the kind of person who's going to take charge and be like, yo, we got to do this. Right.
Yes.
And then my next memory from there was just like him calling me going like, yo, I want to do this podcast. And then I'll be honest, man, I hadn't done anything in years. You know, I had kind of like just fucking being regular guy, you know, working in the city, taking the train. You know, you remember just nothing, like just being just regular guy, you know, being Jay Gelbert, legal government name guy, you know. And then he called me and asked me like, yo, you want to do a podcast? And I was like, ah, man, I don't know, you know. And I just remember kind of saying like, yo, if we're going to do it, can we just make sure that the quality is good and make sure we have like, you know, I just kind of laid it out. Like there were so many shows that I listened to. Again, Axe to Grind being one of them, that I was like, man, that show is so good. And then there are so many shows that are bad that I was like, I don't want to be like that. Or I didn't want the quality, you know, of it to be poor. So I remember like after that, him asking me about the gear thing and all this shit and me just thinking like, okay, fuck, maybe I could just find a place. Cause I knew if I had to get us like the equipment that was just going to be a challenge, you know what I mean? Cause it's just like, not that it's an expensive investment, but it's a lot, you know what I mean, dude? And that's the kind of thing where it's like, it's easy to just be like, ah, fuck, I'm not going to spend that now. Whereas like, if you're booked at the studio, and again, I know how Isaac is, he loves going out, going to the studio. It makes him feel like something's being done, you know, and he's more creative in that, space. So, shout out to Gotham Podcasting Studio in the city that I found. And it's funny how big they've grown since we started. If you look back, you know, I was scrolling through some of the old episodes, and when we first filmed the episodes one, I think it was like one, two, and maybe three, maybe even the fourth one, they were inside of like an office space. And it was just it was like a coffee room, conference room. It was the weirdest thing, but they had it kind of decked out with the, you know, the soundproofing on the wall and the microphones and shit. And I just remember like going like, okay, I know that this could work because now Isaac, I don't have to worry about Isaac recording his own stuff, sending me a file.
Oh, imagine that. That'd be horrible.
Well, it's just like, you know, listen, man, like I deal with a lot of artists, so I get it. And it's, you're asking a lot, you know what I mean? Cause you're already asking, like you're asking someone to sit and talk with you for like an hour and change.
Yeah. And this is no indictment on Isaac, but you put the microphone in front of him, he's going to perform and he's going to be well, but to ask him to do anything more than that, like,
yeah, like a technical,
like sound quality. Yeah. That's
yeah.
That's
like a technical thing.
Yeah.
But so I just remember feeling like, okay, well, like I remember finding that. I really felt like that was a win. I got to be honest. Like that was really alleviated a lot for me. Cause I was like, okay, at least now I don't have to worry about the recording of it. And then the other part that I thought of at the time, you know, obviously we didn't know the pandemic was coming, but it was like us being in the city and recording in the city. And with everybody that Isaac knows, it was easy to have guests because everybody's kind of accessible to the city. Right. And it's like, you know, especially like, again, if you're in a studio, people like that environment. They love going out, feeling like they're recording, doing something big, you know? And I thought that was a big advantage to us having like some of Isaac's really close friends in the beginning being able to just come into the studio, because it was like we were going to their house versus like trying to get him to come to Connecticut or something like that.
Yeah, I was at a couple of those studio.
Yeah,
those
dude, you drove me to one, which I always remember. Remember, there was like a train delay on the tracks, and you drove me. And we got there. We actually got there before the rest of everybody else got there.
You can see me in the background snacking while you guys are talking. It's really.
Yeah, that I don't remember. Visual. You know, I don't remember there being too many good snacks around that area. Like, I think there maybe was a slice place, but I can't remember. Like one of those dollar slice joints. So I was saying, I really felt like when we found Gotham Podcast Studio, that's when I felt like, okay, this is going to be possible, you know. And then I just remember trying to get that first episode, you know, organized, which was kind of tough. And I like, yo, I never had fucking done no shit like that. You know, obviously, like, I mean, you know, I could talk to anybody forever. So I was pretty confident going into it, but I wasn't really sure. And I'd never worked with Ezak on anything on that level. So I honestly, dude, I really wasn't sure what to expect. But the first episode was like, it was definitely rough. Like, obviously, like I said, it's not available now, but I did go back and listen to it. It is rough, but the idea is kind of there, and it's maintained, you know. But I would say like in like the second, third episode is like really when the rhythm was like getting down. But it was a lot of fun, and I liked recording in that place. I did like too, like having, you know, like a separate engineer. Now most of this shit kind of falls on me, and I'm not an audio guy, dude. So it's like, I kind of just like, I'm going with what I know, you know? So sometimes if the audio sounds bad, I'm sorry. I do the best I can.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you're the jack of all trades here, so.
Yo, that's the school of Josta. You got to learn every, you know, it's like, how do you, you know, it's like, oh, can't get artwork. Got to just learn how to make it yourself, you know?
DIY, do everything yourself. Yeah. You know?
DIY till I die. But, you know, man, it was funny because I started going through just some of the episodes. And part two is going to be, I'm going to try to, I've started it, but so please don't hold me to this, but I'm going to try to get it out within the next 2 weeks. It's a clip show, with just some of my favorite episodes, some of my favorite parts from, a few episodes. There's obviously a ton of episodes that it would be impossible to go through and get all of them. But, I was just thinking about some of my favorite moments. I wanted to ask you, Yvonne, though, cause like I said, you've been pretty much part of this since before it was a show, you know. What sticks out to you when you were there?
I mean, you know, one episode I can remember being there for was the Necro episode. Yeah,
that's actually by far our most popular episode. I mean, dude,
it was Necro Mr. Hyde. It was at the Gotham podcast studio.
Yo, the YouTube on that alone has just under 22,000 views, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, that was really funny. Is that Ezak trying to go Necro and you know, just saying stuff to kind of get under his skin. It was they were really fun back and forth.
Yeah, I was just really uncomfortable in that. Like a lot of people have come to me and been like, man, your face or this or that. That's definitely one of my favorites. I would say, like, yo, really a fun one for me. And you were there for this. I know it was a funny one for you too, was when we got the guys to do the 20 years of Kings at Crime.
Oh yeah, that was a great one. The scar.
Oh, that was one of my just favorites. Because again, that's like one of those things, like when we started doing this show, you know, obviously, like, I, you know, I think people understand that at the end of the day, this is Ezak's show. You know what I mean? So like all the guests are approved by him. You know what I mean? Like I have a little bit of input, but you know, this is his show. Even Diablo's Digest, it's all done, you know, in the guise and the brand of Ezak, you know? But that was one of those where I really felt confident with the idea and I thought it would be a lot of fun. And then when we got to execute it, it was like perfect. It was exactly how I thought it would come off, you know? Like what's the one where he says, oh, horrible. Like with the, that one to me, what was that one?
They're doing the song with Mark Ryan from Super Touch.
Oh my God. Hilarious.
I forget the name of the song, but the way Ezak just talks about it is, And he's not dissing Mark at all. Obviously, he has a lot of reverence for Mark and loves Mark. But
yeah, just the delivery or just whatever. The
way I guess the song came out. It was kind of a, I guess, a filler track. And it just the way that he explained it was really funny.
Yeah, that's episode 6. So that's one of my favorite ones, you know. I would say another favorite for me, dude, and this was just was really cool, was when we did Vinny Stigma's birthday at the shop.
Oh yeah, that was the first live Diablo Den.
That was
right?
The first live the first Diablo. And it was done in the heart.
Records.
And you know what too, it was done like in the heart of like lockdown. You can't meet up with people. Remember that whole. Like we were pushing a little bit, but
we had a little Corona scare from that.
Yeah, that
night,
was.
If you remember?
Yeah, but you know, that was a couple of years ago. But that was so cool to me because again, man, you know, both of us, we've gone to so many shows. I mean, I remember you being the one who kind of like turned me on to AF. So then it's like, yo, fast forward, you know, 25 plus years later, and it's like here's this dude in a store that we like helped, you know, that he kind of like. Helped us create the idea to do, you know.
Well, I think the coolest thing about it was that was literally, I mean, where the record store is right down the street from where I grew up. So having everybody in my hometown doing this crazy podcast and having fun, hearing them tell funny stories was pretty cool.
Yeah, like sometimes, man, I always, you know, like I always joke, and I'll sometimes say to our friends, I'm like, you know, Milford shouldn't have something this cool in it, you know. Because it's just like, I remember how hard it was for us to go and try to find stuff. And it's like, here's shit right there, you know? You get fucking Vinny Stigma coming to your town, you know? Pretty crazy.
You know, there's another funny episode with Mike Gallo and Craig Ahead.
I was just going to mention
and
that.
They tell some funny Vinny Stigma stories because they were obviously they've been in bands with him for so long.
Yeah, that's going to kick off one of the main stories from that one was, and I don't want to spoil it if no one has heard it, but it'll be on the clip show. It was actually the first one I pulled and thought of. Hilarious Vinny Stigma story involving Mr. Rogers. That's just amazing. So that'll be on there. And then I'm hoping for part 3 that I'll sit down with Ezak. He's going to be in town next week. So I'm going to try to go see him and I'm hoping that I could sit down with him and just quickly film him. And talk about this, you know, our adventures. Like I said, man, to me, I treat this so much more like a band than a podcast, especially because, you know, I don't get to play in a band as much anymore. Don't get to do some stuff. So this is kind of like my way of doing that. And so, like, I'm grateful that even though it's like, yeah, we haven't done as many episodes as others that have been around as long, I don't take for granted that I get one out of the dude. You know what I mean? Because it is so much fun to do. You know, dude, and it's rewarding. It's been a lot of fun to watch this thing just grow. And because of him, man, like one of my other favorite episodes was we got to have Mina Caputo from Life of Agony on, and you know how much I loved her solo album. So getting to have her on, and talk about that was amazing. You know, dude, and just going through the list of some of the people we've had, it's just kind of crazy, you know, like he's.
Yeah. You know what? Like, I'm just thinking of one of the Corona Chronicles episodes with Jay from a Mind Force. That was a great listen, you know?
Oh yeah. Shout out to JP to one of the best, man. Yeah. Corona Chronicles. I gotta say, man, like I did get worried when the pandemic happened and we weren't going to be able to record in the studio. Like I thought that was going to be it. You know, I was like, oh man, how am I going to make this? Like, how can I keep this going? Because, for the first year, or actually like the first two and change, we weren't on a network or anything. Like, so I was distributing the show like ourselves. But I had plans and I knew I wanted to get us to a level. You know, thankfully we were on, you know, something like Sound Talent Media now, but I always kind of envisioned that, you know, for the podcast and always wanted him to do that. But then when like all the bullshit happened, I got nervous because I was like, fuck, I'm like, how am I going to get him to record? How are we going to get guests? He didn't have gear. You know, so like, luckily I was able to get him like a microphone and man, so, and such a huge shout out to Ezak for wanting to keep it going. And like, you know, dude, he would fucking record. He would like show up. He would, be available to do it. And that made me feel really good. Cause he really understood where I was trying to get the numbers to be. And like, you know, like I said, man, I think that this show, if, you know, in a perfect world, we'd be releasing a show a week. It would just be, you know, bigger than it is. But I don't take for granted every episode that I get out of the dude, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, for me, in a perfect world, Diablo's Den would be two episodes of you guys a month. I think that would be the perfect. That way it's like, you know, I think sometimes there's this this chase to create content that, you know, it's going to be watered down when it's you're getting so much of it. And obviously there's people, a lot of people that do good weekly podcasts and stuff. I think the nature of this show with the guests and stuff, spreading it out, I think every other week, if you guys could do two a month, I think everyone would love that. Obviously that hasn't been the case, but you know,
well, and that was the hope with the digest. And I think you and I talked about that. And we're going to try to get better on it. This month was just tough, but we were doing really good. And that's my hope, is that, like, you know, there'd be like one episode. And that was one of the things that him and I talked about, like, at the end of last year. And, you know, cause we talked about when we were starting the digest stuff, was I said to him, I said to DRP, I was like, yo, let's just try to get as much stuff as possible up, you know, especially with Danny being further away now, you know, like, let's just try to keep expanding the brand. And then obviously, like, when, you know, we treat like the episodes with him and I as like a more, you know, like a fun, you know, do like a more like a show, you know, kind of thing, like a live show or something.
Yeah. To me, the shows with you and him are the main event of those.
Yeah.
Of the
I love lineup. Doing them. Like I said, man, like I wish I, you know, and we've talked about this, like I'm of the thinking that, like, we don't need a guest every episode. I think Ezak's a guest no matter what. And I think, like, you know, I really enjoyed the last one we did.
Oh, one of the best ones. Shane O'Connor story. It was hilarious.
Yeah. It's just perfect, like, with him and I. And I always tell him, like, dude, we don't need a lot. So I'm hoping again, like, you know, that we'll be able to get in that groove, especially, like, you know, going into next year. I you know, again, I know I had promised that this year, but listen, man, we're going 5 years strong. And anybody who knows the inner workings of this shit, man, like I said, man, I'm always surprised we can get another one done. And I'm always grateful that we can.
Yeah, it's amazing. 5 years is amazing. And
yeah,
dude, here's the five more years and more than
that. Exactly, man. Here's the five more. So yeah, that was pretty much it. I just wanted to give an intro for part one, keep it kind of short. I think that was everything, Yvonne, unless there's anything that sticks out to you or you wanted to know about Diablo's Den, the behind the scenes.
I mean, I pretty much know everything I need to know.
But as a viewer, you know, if you're a listener, you think there's anything anybody wants to know. It takes me, I would say, like, you know, usually I try to get these out as fast as possible. I've definitely been slacking on the YouTube thing. I apologize to all our people who like to watch it. It's just been harder to get.
Well, remember me in the beginning, I kind of hated on the video aspect, but I think it's definitely viable, and you've done a great job with it, and it's cool.
Thanks, man.
Well, yeah, I'm someone from an audience. I listen to my podcast in the car. I'm not watching them on TV, but I know a lot of people do watch them on TV. So you did a great job with that.
And you know what too is, like, I just had like that. I saw it a lot in the hip hop game. A lot of those guys, you know, were doing the YouTube thing. And I was like, man, this is so smart, because I'm like, you could watch the shit. You could get their reactions and stuff. And it's funny because, yeah, a lot of people kind of were like, yo, that's whack. Not whack, but like, why, you know? And I'm going to say this, man. The same people, you know, people used to diss me with my ideas for the distance, like rap in the van and all this shit. And those same people open stores now and do shit, you know? So it's like, I just do my own thinking, you know? And I think if I see a path for something, I'm like, why not do it? It's like, just set up a camera, you know? And luckily, like I said, man, it goes back to finding that podcast studio. They had the video capability already available. And it was just like, okay, for, you know, I forget what they were charging per hour. It was like X, you know, we'll get you audio and video. And then I just said, I was like, yo, this is a no brainer, you know, especially like if I could have the raw feed, then I, at the time, you remember in the beginning, we used to do like a lot more intricate, like editing. We've kind of just gone away from that because it's a little easier to just get the show on. But yeah, doing the YouTube thing, like I'd say, like I've obviously created more work for myself, but I'm happy looking back. I mean, we're like, and again, you know, there's podcasts who are way bigger, but for us, you know, we've been around 5 years. It's like, we're on 2,000, just about 2,000 subscribers, which I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but for us, like, it's all real people, never done no shit. So I, to me, that's cool, you know? Pretty niche content. So to have that many subscribers, and like I said, like, that Necro video has 21,000 something. It's like just under 22,000 views. Like, that's fucking crazy to me, you know?
Yeah, those are numbers to be proud of. And you guys have done the hard work, and especially you trying to keep this to be a consistent thing. And you've done a lot of work, and it's, you're not making any money off this. I don't think people
realize. No, dude, that. And that's the it's thing. Not, it's like, yeah, I mean, dude, this I would say if we're going to be totally honest, this actually cost me money because,
oh, for sure,
you know, like, I've paid for equipment. I've paid for travel. I've paid for studio time, but I look at it the same way as if I was in a band, man. I'd have to pay for equipment. I'd have to pay for those things. And again, man, I genuinely, like, I have so much fun recording with him or with you. Especially too, like, thinking about the episodes, you know, like, I had a lot of fun thinking about this and just, you know, it's just cool. You know, it makes me feel plugged in. Especially cause, you know, like I don't get the same enjoyment like you do, man. You still get to play. You know, we got to do one show this year, but with us, it's a lot harder to do shit. So in a lot of ways, man, like, I kind of, this is my way of kind of being in a band, even though it's a podcast, you know, but it's a lot of fun, man. So episode 2, I just started pulling some clips together. And then hopefully episode 3, I'm going to just try to grab Isaac and see what he remembers, if anything, over the past 5 years, or what he, what stories he has.
It'll be a very entertaining trip down memory lane, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure he's not going to remember much. I'm going to, you know, like, I the one thing that jumps out to me, I'm sure you remember, is when he got stabbed after leaving the, one of the episodes for breaking up that fight. That was pretty crazy.
Yep.
I'm glad I didn't go out with them that night. I was supposed to. I just got on the train. I was like, I'm just going home. But yeah, man, no, it's been cool. So yeah, shout out to 5 years. Shout out to Isaac. Shout out to you, Yvonne, for helping me out this last year and change with everything. We're going to keep the digest moving. And yeah, fuck yeah. Everybody stay subscribed to, you know, the YouTubes, the email list, all that shit. I'm sorry I'm slacking, but I promise I'm going to get back on it and get everybody up to speed. But I appreciate everybody, especially all the people who've been riding with us, like all the friends who I always see posting and reaching out to me about it. Or you know, like, if we're at a show and come up and tell me that they love it, you know, I'm the same way. I'm like you. I get so excited when I hear Isaac laugh or when he tells us a crazy story that it's like, that's the reason I do this. You know, I'm a fan like you guys. I want the juice, you know, I want the stories. So I'm on your behalf. I'm trying to get all those out of them, you know.
You're doing the Lord's work, you know.
We're doing the Lord's work. Shout out to you, Yvonne. Thank you so much. Guys, I'll check in with you. Give me like a week and change, but I'll have a clip episode for you soon. Peace out.
Hi, I'm Daniela Clark.
I'm Barbara Ann Wild.
And we are the Honest AF Show.
Our podcast is real honest conversation with our celebrity friends and pros.
Covering our anything but average rock and roll lifestyles.
All while tackling the hell that is aging and the battle of beauty.
Oh yeah, nothing is off the table.
The Honest AF Show is available wherever you get your podcasts.